This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The Bible contains an incredible story, and when properly understood, it is nothing but remarkable how this epic connects with our present geopolitical reality. That portion of the story concerns itself with how Israel would obtain a birthright, thus becoming a multitude of nations and a great nation, both used to promote the chief ruler recipient of the scepter, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, from the tribe of Judah through the house of David. Stay with us as we attempt to explain this amazing world history revealed in the pages of your Bible.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, many of you who have been watching the telecast here, the Armor of God, for quite a while are well aware of the fact that we're a biblically based telecast, a biblically based program. I think many times you've heard my colleagues or I mention the fact that, look, don't believe us, don't believe me. Believe the Bible. And I know you've come to appreciate it because I've received letters and realized that many of you appreciate the fact that you have found truth about the Bible when in fact you were led to believe that what you formerly understood was true, only to realize that things you were told were not in the Bible, but now have come to appreciate and realize things a little bit differently. And for that, we're grateful to all of the comments and positive feedback that we've received over the years regarding some of those realizations that many of you have come to. But, you know, admittedly, I realize the Bible is perceived to be quite a complex book. And there are so many varieties of perceptions and understandings regarding what the Bible says and how it says it. And then you compound that with so many traditions that have been adopted from former religions and influences of other cultures that have been adopted, especially in this particular case, the Christian religion. And it just adds to the confusion of the mix. And I understand that. So today, what I'd like to do is I would like to present to you somewhat of an overview, somewhat of a broad, bigger scope concept, a perception that will give you a broad overview of the landscape of what the Bible is covering. Now, granted, I agree I won't get into a lot of detail, but my main objective today is to try to provide you a broad overview so that you can comprehend and develop the concept of what God is attempting to do when He set the objective for Himself down and wanted to share eternity with His creation, mankind. So I'd like to talk a little bit on a broad scale of this salvation program that God has designed through Jesus Christ. And at the same time, and by the same token, I hope, consequently, as a result of going through in the course of this presentation, to provide you with a key to prophecy that will hopefully allow you, in understanding that key, to realize how contemporary the prophets, the voices of the prophets, and the messages of the prophets are, and how contemporary overall this Bible, this book, is for our day and age in this 21st century. But as it is our tradition here on the Armor of God, let me break away here to present to you our offers. We have two of them today. Both are free for the asking, as it usually is on this program. We don't ask for money. We never will, because we have freely received, and so therefore we freely give to you. And we appreciate the opportunity because we look at it as a great privilege to provide you this information. The first offer is a small booklet, easily readable in one sitting, called How to Understand Prophecy. You can read this, as I say, very quickly. It's probably, 30, 40 pages long, but it will help you to better understand some of the things that I'll be talking about here in the remaining portion of this program that I won't be able to touch on, but certainly will augment what I'm talking about. Secondly, also in addition to this, we have a 12-hour lecture series. That's right, I didn't make a mistake. 12 hours of lecture, along with a book that illustrates the topics of what those lectures cover, so you can follow it right along throughout the whole 12 hours. There's maps, there's scriptures, there's historical pictures of items that will substantiate what the booklet is all about and what the lectures are all about, and it's titled The Biblical Origins of the United States of America and the British Commonwealth. All are free for the asking. All you've got to do is dial that 888 number, 578-8791. And also, by the way, don't forget about that website. And let me mention this. We've got a new feature on our website. That's right. Every Saturday, you can click in and you can go ahead and watch a live webcast of an individual minister, sometimes presenting of the Church of God International, a presentation that we hope you will find helpful in your association and relationship with God. Those times will be announced on that website. All you've got to do is go to the homepage, and they'll be listed there. And then on that Saturday, you can go ahead and click in, follow the links, and hopefully they really will be beneficial to you. And in addition, don't forget, look at all the booklets and additional archival sermons and Armor of God telecasts that we have there. They're all for your benefit, my friends, and all for, hopefully, you to better improve your walk with God. So one more time now, let me go back to this phone number, 888-578-8791 for the two offers of our today's program, the How to Understand Prophecy booklet and the Biblical Origins of the United States and Great Britain in Prophecy. You can certainly go ahead and get both of those free of charge, and that website there at www.cgi.org. Now, back to the program here and resuming where we left off. I was mentioning, as we started the telecast, that the Bible is indeed perceived sometimes to be a complex book, and I understand that. It's broken out into 66 books to begin with, and then in addition, each book has its own theme and oftentimes its own purpose. You know, you get into Chronicles, it's very kind of dry reading because there's so much historical information there. It's kind of like reading, in some respects, history book, so to speak. But then there are other books of action and other books of principles of living, like the Proverbs and the Psalms, which is really a book of songs and prayers. Very, very helpful, certainly, I think, in our endeavors to develop a relationship with God. But saying all of that, what I'm trying to make the point is that I agree, because in addition, you combine that with all of the disinformed, disconnected traditions and sometimes interpretations and perceptions and concepts that have grown out of allegedly the Bible over the decades and centuries of the Christian history and community, and needless to say, guess what? We've got a hodgepodge of confusion. So the necessity of attempting here today of trying to give you a broad overview on the thematic purpose of what this Bible covers and how God is bringing many sons unto glory, that is, to this dimension of eternal life, I think has its purpose, has its place. And I'm going to try to do that. Of course, I'm not going to get into a lot of details, but there are two very important functions, two very important points that I want to bring to your attention that I think will help you to develop this concept of understanding the broad storyline and timeline of what the Bible is presenting. So let me start, and let me to explain it this way. Many of you have probably heard that the Bible is the story of one man's family. And I think many of you have perhaps understood how that developed, because in many respects, the Bible starts at a definitive beginning. That definitive beginning is in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. That's right. Many of you are, I'm sure, are familiar with the story. The Bible is approximately 6,000 years of human history, and it started with Adam and Eve in the garden. From there, as the story goes, we know that the serpent, Satan, the devil, deceived the two of them and caused them to rebel against God. Over the years, evil grew. The earth became horribly, horribly confused and very anti-God. It caused God to grieve that he even made man. He chose out of all of that confusion and disappointment a family named Noah. His three sons and three wives proceeded to build an ark. That ark was about 120 years in the making, and as they finished the project, just in time, by the way, for God to destroy the world by water. We know that they were in that ark. Many of you think it was only 40 days and 40 nights. No, it was over a year they were in that ark, floating around, bobbing in the water like a cork, and then finally were able to get out of there. However, sadly, the story continues. Just two generations this side of the flood, mankind again trips up, rebels, and in his rebellion, essentially illustrates it by building a tower representing his disdain toward God. God couldn't take it. He confused the languages, as the story goes, and those of you who are familiar with it understand that from there, mankind was dispersed throughout the nations in a confused state, and as a result, populated the world from there. But then the story hits a major watermark, a major benchmark, a major linchpin. Follow me over here to Genesis chapter 12. Here is where many of the scholars and many people will agree that essentially the story of one man's family begins here in chapter 12. Let me bring your attention to this, verse 1. Here we read that the Lord said to this fellow named Abraham. Now, I don't know if Abraham was the first one that God asked to do this. I don't know if he was the second one. He may have been the third, the fourth, or the fifth. I don't know. But I do know this. God cuts to the chase and tells us it was him who finally believed God and proceeded then to follow his instructions. And here was what the request consisted of. He says here, God does to this fellow named Abram, get you out of your country, from your kindred, from your family, and from your father's house unto a land that I'm going to show you. Okay? So Abraham accepts this offer, this request. And he says, God does to Abraham, if you do this, here's what I'm going to do. I will make you a great nation. Interesting. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Verse 3 now. And I will bless them that bless you, curse him that curses you. And secondly, look at this. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now this is an interesting benchmark, as I say, linchpin in the unfolding story of the Bible. And what I mean by that is here, two promises are established as major premises to this fellow named Abram, whose name was changed later on, to Abraham. And those two particular promises were essentially one, in this case and in this description, he, Abraham, was going to become a great nation, and through his lineage, through his ethnicity, through his family line, all the world, all people of the earth would be blessed. Now follow me through this because we need to move along here, but follow me through as we proceed with this particular story. Turn with me real quickly here to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17 here, the story unfolds and continues. And in this particular case, chapter 17 and in verse 19, we see that Sarah, Abraham's wife, I will forego the details of the story leading up to this, but suffice it to say, due to the time that I have here on me, let me just cut to the chase here and state this, that Sarah had a son named Isaac. He, Isaac, was the promised one. And we read right here in verse 19, God says to Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish, look at that, my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed, And then he talks about Ishmael, who was the son of the bondwoman Hagar. But again, that is part of the story as well. However, in verse 21, he reemphasizes this point. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. And this is further confirmed over here in Genesis chapter 22, just a few chapters over. And I know I'm going to go through this a little bit fast. However, I'm drawing your attention to a point that I will be making here as we proceed through this presentation. But I want to bring your attention here to Genesis chapter 22. And in verse 15, we read here, an angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time. He says, by myself I have sworn unto the Lord, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. This was when he was going to sacrifice Abraham and kill Isaac. But this is what was underscoring God's pleasure and his satisfaction with this event. He says here, because he was going to kill him. You know the story. Abraham was going to kill Isaac, but God had to save Isaac in the nick of time. As a result, though, of that expression of faith, God confirms to Abraham here that in blessing, verse 17, I will bless you in multiplying, and I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. Your seed shall possess the gates of your enemies. Interesting. And your seed, secondly, look at this. Because remember, verse 17 here is all about the physical. You know, you'd be a great people. You would possess the gateways to the lands of your enemies. But here, secondly, notice this. Again, the second portion, the second segment of that promise that was mentioned in Genesis 12. Here it is. And verse 18, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So here again, this two-segmented promise is reiterated, reaffirmed by God to Abraham. And then, of course, we see is literally prepared. It is placed to be presented to Isaac as the next generation to receive the blessing that Abraham originally received. And follow me through this, because I'll confirm that right over here in Genesis and in chapter 25, just a few pages over. In chapter 25, we read, and in verse 5, look at this, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. So now Isaac has the promises, son of Abraham. It passed down from Abraham to Isaac. Now Isaac has a child. Isaac has a child through his wife named Rebekah. In verse 21 of chapter 25, you'll see Rebekah conceives, and she has, notice this, twins of all things. Now I want to point something out here. Notice the terminology and notice the context and what is being said here in verse 23 regarding the people, the babies in the womb of Rebekah. Notice, I'm not making this stuff up. This is real stuff. This is in your Bible, my friends. Notice, and the Lord said unto her, two nations. We're not talking just about babies here. My friends, they represented two nations. Now, I know what nations are. Do you know what nations are? Of course you do. They're mountains, they're rivers, they're countries, they're people, they're military, they're government, they're commerce, it's culture. Nations are nations of people, and we look around the world, we know what a nation is. Well, in Rebekah's womb, at this point in the story, she is told she has two nations in her womb, and one she names Esau, the firstborn. The second is named Jacob. Now, Jacob was not the firstborn. You read the story, you'll find that Esau, here in the latter part of this chapter, verse 31, notice this. Jacob said, sell me this day. Now, a new word is going to be introduced. Here it comes. For the first time, we hear this word. It's called birthright. Birthright. What in the world does that mean? It means the promise, the fact of the nations portion of the segment of the promise, that's what we're talking about, is segmented and labeled the birthright segment. In other words, what Jacob got here was the firstborn's blessing, because Esau was the firstborn, and he flipped it on Esau because Esau was hungry. You know the story with the porridge and all that. I'm not going to go into the details. But the point of it is, Jacob got it. And so Jacob now has the firstborn's blessing. And Jacob, as we see the story unfold, and we'll follow it down here just to substantiate what I'm talking about here in chapter 26, where we begin to see Jacob in this particular case where God says, unto Isaac, first of all, let's go here just to reiterate the promises. Let me back up here and mention what God says to Isaac before we move on to Jacob and Esau. He says here in verse 4 of chapter 26 and reiterates the promise that he made to Abraham, again reiterating it back to Isaac, and I will make your seed multiply as the stars of heaven and will give unto you the seed all these countries. Give unto your seed all these countries, all these nations, all these lands. That's what we're talking about, a physical element, a physical aspect, a physical dimension to this promise. And it would be considered your birthright. But then secondly, notice, and in your seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. What's he talking about? Is he talking about a nation that's going to bless all peoples? You'll see here. Follow me through this. Be patient. You'll see how this begins to clarify itself and how we step by step will see how both of these promises are actually segmented from one another and one actually builds on the other to complement the other. It's an amazing story, my friends, all premised and built on, in many respects, these two major promises which are thematic throughout your Bible. Notice this over here in chapter 28, we move on, and over here in verse 1, where we see now basically Jacob leaving and moving on in his life, and Esau and their lives beginning to unfold, but then over here, Jacob and his dream, watch the promise get expanded here. The expansion is in verse 14, your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. This is the dream of Jacob now. Jacob is in vision. He's in a dream. And it says here, your seed shall be the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. Your seed shall also bless families of the earth. They shall be blessed by your seed. And this is being told to Jacob. Now we fast forward because time is running out on me here over to chapter 48 of the book of Genesis, and in all of this time, and you can see where essentially in chapter 32, Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Oh yeah, that's right. He fought with this one who he claimed he saw the face of God and lived. His life was preserved. You can read that story down there through chapters 32 and so on and find out how Jacob's name, God changed his name, Jacob, to Israel. And that's how the name Israel comes into play in your whole Bible. That's the birthing of that name, so to speak. So now in chapter 48, we come down to where Jacob has 12 sons. We're going to put it up on the screen here, a little graph that we've got to illustrate to you that Jacob had 12 sons. Now, that's where the 12 tribes of Israel comes from. You'll notice all of those names there on the graph that we've got up there on your screen. And you can follow it down, see Abraham, then you go down to Isaac, and then you go down to Jacob, and he's spread out over 12 names. Well, notice over there where Joseph is. Joseph has two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh was the firstborn. Ephraim was the second born. Now, in many cases, as was with Esau and Jacob, the birthright is passed on to the younger. That's right. The firstborn is skipped. Manasseh didn't get the firstborn blessing. You read down through here to chapter 48 and you find out Jacob did this. He crossed his hands and he put his right hand on the younger and is left on the older. Amazing. And Joseph noticed it. Joseph, the son of Jacob. Joseph noticed it. And notice the story here. Verse 13, chapter 48, book of Genesis. Joseph took both Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right, and brought them near him. Israel stretched out his right hand, laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and the left hand upon Manasseh. See, I'm not making this stuff up. This is right in your Bible, my friends. Flipped his hands, laid it on the younger, and gave the younger the first blessing. Joseph, he says here, and he blessed Joseph and said, that is, Jacob did, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life, and the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name, notice that, let my name be named on them. Who's them? Manasseh and Ephraim. What's Jacob's name? Israel. You getting the connection now? All right, now watch this. Joseph notices, I don't have a lot of time to go through the details. You can read the rest of it at your own convenience. But you'll see that then what happens here as the promise begins to get crystallized, it breaks out here in verse 19. The father refused, that is, Jacob refused to listen to Joseph. He knew what he was doing. As bad as his eyesight was, he was on top of his game. And he goes and he says here, no, I know it, my son, that means Joseph, I know it. He also, that is Manasseh, shall be a great people, and he shall also be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he. That's right, greater than he. And his seed shall become a multitude, or a company, or an assembly, or how about a commonwealth of nations? Oh, that's right, my friends. What ends up happening here, as you begin to see these promises unfold and begin to pick up steam, yes, Israel did develop into a great nation under the leadership of David, under the leadership of Solomon. There was about 80 years of great affluence and wealth in a region of the world. However, in the region of the world, that was very quickly lived, and it was taken away some 200 years later by the Assyrians first, who attacked the northern 10 tribes of Israel after a civil war erupted after Solomon died. And they were taken away captive, never to be found in history. As a matter of fact, the nomenclature and label that those people take and carry with them are the lost 10 tribes of Israel. While Judah in the south, who later on, as Genesis 49 portrays, which by the way, 49 is a prophecy. Notice, and Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. I submit to all of you, Genesis 49 is a prophetic chapter, and it profiles Jacob's sons and how they would be played out as a culture of people in the latter days. And I submit to you, the Jews played out. They provided the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, who was Jewish. And through all nations, through his name, will be blessed. And Jesus, coming from the tribe of Judah, son of Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham. You see how that works? That's how all nations are blessed through Israel. That's right, my friends. However, the lost 10 tribes, that birthrighted segment of that particular promise, went on to become a great nation and a great company of nations. You tell me. Look at history and the reality that surrounds us. Who meets that profile? Friends, dial now, 888-578-8791. Get both of these free offers that we're asking. That's why you've got to get these 12 hours of lectures and the book. It will give you the kind of detail that I'm telling you will blow your mind. You wouldn't believe how much detail is in there. And it will illustrate to you how the birthright promise afforded the scepter or the blessing, the seed that would bless all of mankind to proliferate around the world. That's right. The greatest advance of the name of Jesus Christ is accredited to Great Britain and America working together to provide the advancement of the seed that would provide salvation to all humanity. Friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you. You keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.